the ash heap buried before language. Job sits in the margin. The letters around him are insects, then stars, then small scales from the throat of a great creature that sleeps beneath the city. His friends arrive like footnotes that correct the wind. They carry reasons in jars, and the reasons rattle like pebbles. Each jar is labeled with a law older than salt. They urge him to accept proportion. He answers with a torn garment of silence. Night comes up through the soil. It is not the end of day. It is the underside of day made visible. The moon lowers its face to the cistern and drinks until the water remembers its first shape. Job rubs his body with shards of pot, and every shard is a mirror. He multiplies himself into a parliament of grief. A child of dusk speaks for him and declares that the world is a kiln, and the human heart is the vessel that always cracks on firing. The others applaud as if a verdict had been read. Then the sea lifts its eyelid. Not far from the dump, there is a plain of shallow brine where past visions come to be descaled. A fin writes a line through the moonlight. The line is a sentence that no alphabet admits. Job reads it anyway. He reads with his skin. A hidden ribcage heaves, big as a town, with a bell in it. The bell is a lung. It tolls for nothing, and therefore for all things. A whirlwind forms with the neatness of a law. It is a throat clearing itself. It gathers the ash, and the ash willingly becomes scripture. The voice within is neither thunder nor speech. It is measurement refusing to be small. Where were you when the first nail was driven into the floor of the sea? Where were you when the doors were fitted to morning and evening? Job answers with the only truth he has, which is his absence from all great beginnings. He says, I was a smudge on the margin. The whirlwind laughs without moving. It shows him storehouses cut into the cold, rooms full of snow that wait like conscripts. A clamp for the Pleiades, a key for Orion, a loose bridle for the wild ass. It shows him the ostrich mislaying her eggs in warm sand because forgetfulness is a sacrament. It shows him the horse trembling with war that has not yet been declared. It shows him the raven whose chicks cry to the sky and are fed from an arithmetic Job cannot learn. None of this relieves him, yet his breath begins to rhyme with the brain. The great beasts arrive in order, as if summoned by a catalogue. First behemoth, a hill that grazes. Its bones are the rafters of longhouses. Its belly is an archive of quiet rivers present themselves to its mouth and are not noticed. Job is invited to take a reed and measure the thigh, but the reed grows soft. He counts to 10 and the number refuses to stop. Behemoth turns its eye, which is a shallow sea with its own tide. In that tide, a boat rocks, rigged with human conjecture. The sail is scripture sewn from linen and goodwill. It hangs clean and useless. Then the water tightens from beneath the mirror, a furnace opens. The whale that is also dragon, that is also lawless governance, rises by increments, like a long thought climbing a spine. Its back is a library of shields, none of which can be opened. Sparks move in its throat with the serenity of a forge at prayer. It sneezes and the air becomes a chapel of pearls. Makes the deep boil like a pot, and the pot is the world, and we are all the scum that insists on being named. Job does not run. He surrenders to scale. Can you hook it? The question arrives dressed as iron. The hook descends, the line sinks, the sea replies by becoming thicker than history. The hook beds in the laugh of an impossible lip. The line is drawn straight, and the straightness is an accusation against all curved things. Men on the shore compose laws around this straightness. They declare that a creature thus taken is already justice. Leviathan continues to breathe. The breath is hotter than truth. The line smokes, and the smoke writes psalms on the wind. Job enters the water to read them. His friends cry out that he is mad. He knows that sanity is the husk of a fruit already eaten. He swims until the ash washes from him, and his skin is a new tablet. The whale rolls, revealing a country of scars. On that country, he reads the minutes of every court that ever sat to weigh pain. The writing loops and overlaps. It cannot be copied. When he touches a line, it ceases to mean and becomes merely warm. The voice, still in the whirlwind, asks him about architecture. Who taught the hawk the south? Who freshed the lion's young with meat they did not earn? Who set the sea its cradle, and then tied a ribbon to the wave so that children might laugh? Job answers with an apology for existing, which is all the architecture he has. The voice is pleased and annoyed. It has no furniture for pity. The whale regards him with the patience of a mountain. To be looked at by such a thing is to become geographical. Job feels himself divided into gulfs and shoals.